It's been about 53, 54 weeks since we were here at the altar with Megan for her commissioning service. What an amazing year it has been. Some great times, some incredibly difficult times, as she has transitioned from life in the United States to life as a full-time missionary living in the Dominican Republic. We've enjoyed having her here to visit with us for a little over a week, and she will return there 1 week from tomorrow. So we want to take some time this morning to hear from her about some of the things that God has allowed her to be involved with in ministry. Some of the things he has done. Can't hear it all in just the short amount of time that we have in a Sunday morning worship service. But we are looking forward to hearing what God has given you for us today. Megan, come, and we love you. We're thankful you're with us today. Amen. Amen.
I would like to pray before I speak. Abba, Father, thank you. You are good. Oh, you are good. We've seen it, we've tasted, and we've seen that you are good. And we need more of you. We want more of you. And I just pray that in this morning you would make me invisible. And that your people here at Pursuit Church would see that you are good. And that you're a God who still works miracles today. That you're a God who hears the prayers of his children. And you're a God who responds to those prayers. You're a God of compassion. A God of mercy. You are provider. You are protector. You are Prince of Peace. You are the one who heals. You are the one who comforts. You are the I am. And it's the desire of my heart that you, the I am, would be on display through this time of testimony this morning. Be exalted, be glorified. That's the desire of our hearts in this place this morning. We love you. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Pero de ninguna cosa hago caso, ni estimo preciosa mi vida para mí mismo, con tal que acabe mi carrera con gozo y el ministerio que recibí del Señor Jesús para el testimonio del Evangelio de la Gracia de Dios. Hechos 20, 24. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. Acts 20, 24. I didn't speak Spanish on accident. that does happen occasionally because my brain has switched to having a different language as my primary language. And so sometimes Spanish will slip out as I am in conversation with people. And so this morning as I'm sharing, if I slip into Spanish, Pastor, help me. Help me realize I'm speaking the wrong language. I would like to teach you all a common greeting. This is going to be on purpose Spanish. I'd like to teach you all a common greeting. When somebody takes a microphone, sometimes they'll say, ¿Quién vive? Which means, who lives? And the response from the congregation will be, Cristo, which is Christ. And then they'll say, and who lives in victory? Or how do we live? And they say, in victory. But the thing that I use a lot of times when I grab the microphone, when somebody invites me to the front is, Que Dios les bendiga. And that means, may God bless you. And their response is, amen. Can you all say amen? Amen. Let me hear it better. Amen. Okay. And then they say, Que Dios les bendiga más, which means, may he bless you even more. And then the response again is, amen. But the second amen is always a little more lively than the first. And so we're going to try that this morning. Are you guys ready? Que Dios les bendiga. Que Dios les bendiga más.
Amen.
Very good, very good. You guys could pass for a Dominican church. Well, I would like to do a quick overview of just some of the year's ministry opportunities. I don't have enough time to tell you everything that the Lord has given me the opportunity to do in the last 2 years, because otherwise we would be here all afternoon, and I know that you guys will want lunch soon. But these first few slides you'll see are pictures from the school ministry, which is the ministry that the Lord first opened the door for me to be a part of. It's called Club de Valores. So basically, we go into the school system, and every single month we have, if, you know, as I'm talking, Jody, if you just want to kind of hang in those first three slides. But every month we have a value. It could be love. It could be mercy. It could be, it's all in Spanish in my head. Sorry. It could be friendship, just a value, and teaching the children each week. What is this value? And each week having a different Bible story to be able to give that value a biblical basis, so that we're teaching them how to apply it to their lives, not just in the classroom, but in their homes. And so this is affecting the Dominican Republic. It's not just changing the school systems. It's changing the homes also. We're having testimonies, not just from teachers. Slip back a slide for me. Not just for teachers, but also testimonies from homes, from parents saying, things are changing in my house. My kid is acting different, and I'm not really sure what to do about it, but we like it. So then that's pulling these families into the church system. That's ultimately our goal. So basically each month, you know, we have this value each week. We're in each classroom once a week. So we're in the schools in the mornings and in the afternoons, working with these children. I also have had the privilege of beginning to write a resource, so that all of the people that are going to be volunteering in the school systems in the future will have a ministry resource that has each week's plan. So they have the Bible story, they have the memory verse, they have the coloring sheet, and, you know, whatever song that they might sing that week. So I'm compiling this ministry resource also in Spanish for future workers to be able to enter in and use, and also an orientation manual so that we can go out and train other people in other areas, other cities, and mobilize them to go into their school systems, ultimately because we believe that the school is the largest church in the Dominican Republic. And if we can raise up our children in the school systems in a way that honors the Lord and training them up in that environment, then they go into their homes and they're changing their families. And That is our heart's goal. Our heart's desire is to see that this ministry goes from the schools and infiltrates in all of the Dominican Republic. So you can go to the next slide, Jody. These are a couple of pictures from a praise team that I had the opportunity to help to form and to help to train biblically in what is the role of a worship leader. And so this was so out of my comfort zone. You go down there and you do one little thing, and then they think you can do all things. And it was very humbling for me to have to learn kind of as I went. But praise the Lord for the mentorship that I had under Miss Twyla here in the church, and just the way that she took me under her wing and she taught me what it was to be really a worship leader who worships in spirit and in truth, and honors the Lord, strives to honor the Lord, not just in the worship set, but outside of the worship set, and the high calling that it is to be a worship leader. And so I had the opportunity in Sabaneta to help to form this praise team. And so, you know, not just singing in that church, but being invited as a group to sing and to lead in other churches and events. If you go to the next slide, Jody, there's three slides here while I'm talking about these things. I have had the opportunity to translate in a couple of different forums. This actually was very recent. This is a dental clinic, a team that came from the United States and also Dominicans who were working with them. And they had an entire week in a city on the side of the border in the Dominican Republic and in another city on the side of Haiti, where they every single day they saw hundreds of patients, treating them, removing molars, and doing even minor surgeries. And so being invited to translate for people like that, I have translated for a medical clinic last summer, and the head of that medical team has invited me to be a part of a two-week, I translated for one day for them last year, and they have invited me to travel with them for 2 weeks this summer and translate for their entire trip, and so that's exciting. In January, there was also a music team that came from the States and did music on the border in January on the side of the border. Sorry, it's in Spanish. In the city on the Dominican side and in the city on the Haitian side, also, we did a music outreach, and it was so amazing to see how they used music to reach out to children who were in just in very poverty-stricken areas, but when they come in and make music, it's powerful. And when you're choosing music that have powerful lyrics, things happen in the atmosphere. We know that that's true. And so especially when we were there in Haiti and these Haitian singers have this rich, very strong sound to their singing. And I just remember walking in there and it was this dilapidated church building with these wooden pews that looked like they could break at any moment, and there were just Haitians that were just pouring in, and they opened their mouths to sing a song that they knew from the year previous. When they began to sing, I just began to weep because it was just so powerful, and even though I didn't understand the Haitian lyrics, the passion with which they were singing just had me, I just had to be small, and I just wept because it was so powerful and incredible. And so an incredible outreach, and it was amazing to be able to talk about music in Spanish and to hear it in Haitian, even though I couldn't speak the Haitian. In January of this year, I also had the privilege of translating for our team. These pictures here, just so you know, they're from the Haitian workshops that we did. These don't have all of the singers in them. These were just during workshop hours. But this, you know, you'll recognize the pretty blonde lady up on the right-hand side. Just an incredible time where the Holy Spirit just poured out his presence while the team was there. And just incredible things happening every single day. And one of the most incredible things for me was that he was blessing my Spanish. And there were some times that I was saying things or translating things or praying things that I was looking at the team saying, I never said that before, or I have never prayed like that before. And so just incredible. And, you know, sometimes I'll be translating and I'll hear something and be like, oh, Lord, I don't know how to say that word. Or I don't know what phrase they use for that, because that's a phrase that don't make any sense in Spanish. How do I translate this? And as I open my mouth, it'll come out and I'll hear it. And I'll be like, well, what just came out was a word that I didn't know before. But I'm going to put that in my word bank, Holy Spirit. Thank you for that. and then I also have teams coming from Canada that I've had the opportunity to translate for through a connection that I have with Pastora Ana. If we can go to the next slides, this is the family from Canada who, I don't know if you all know, but I'm going to tell the story in just a minute, but we were not the only ones that supported financially the building of the church in Maisal. And so this family actually brought funds down from Canada, and they helped us with the construction on the day that we actually poured the roof. What's next, Jody? So you'll see here, these are some pictures of before. This is what the roof looked like when you guys were collecting funds for us to be able to complete the roof. Let's go to the next one. And this is us standing on the roof when we had a wooden platform up there. We were preparing to be able to pour. We were here in this stage for a couple of weeks. This is myself with Pastora Ana and one of the young men that was preparing the roof to be poured. And we can go to the next one, Jody. And here is the day of the pouring of the roof, and we were so full of joy, so full of joy. Look, God, look what you're doing, because really what was happening was an impossible situation. And I'm going to tell you all more about that, but every step of the way, go back one more. Every step of the way, this top left-hand picture has been what I have seen. And what is happening in that picture is the reason why there's a roof on the church in the next slide. Prayer, 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 faith, prayer, prayer, faith, prayer, prayer, faith. And now there's a roof on the church in my cell. You guys can give the Lord a hand for that. That's pretty incredible. That's pretty incredible. So this picture, I didn't want to put a whole lot of selfies on there, but this picture was my last day in my cell after the time that I had been sick, and I'll tell y'all a little bit about that. But after the time that I had been sick, that I had had my surgery, I had been hospitalized 3 times in the last, 2 months when I took this picture, and I was about to go back to Sabaneta, and the Lord had made my cell and the church there, the church family, and Anna and her family so precious to me that part of me was like, oh, I have to go back. I have to leave all of this for a time. And I went up on the roof by myself, and I just sat there on the roof. And I was like, Lord, I'm sitting on the roof. Look what you've done. Look what you've done. And then as I was just praising him for it, I just kind of had to chuckle a little bit, and I was like, Lord, this is the most incredible Christmas gift that I have ever received in my entire life. The most incredible Christmas gift. So some other things that we've done, we took care of the construction workers. We brought them food. A lot of times Anna and I would get up early and we would cook meals and we would take them to the workers and all of that. There were a lot of errands to run. And so praise the Lord for the vehicle that he has provided for me. Glory to him for that, because we were able to jump in the car and go to this city to do this thing, go to that city to look for this thing. And so there was a lot of running around every single day when I was well enough to be out of the bed. We also did house visits. This is a typical house in the Dominican Republic with the wooden walls and just something that we would consider very poverty stricken. But this is actually a middle class sort of house in my cell. And I just had to put this smile here. I captured in one of our house visits when we were visiting one of the families in the church. We sometimes have days full of house visits. It means that we go out on foot, Anna and I, and we just walk from house to house of people that she knows, of people that somebody said, hey, that person that lives in the house, in the pink house on the 3rd street of blah, 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 that person needs somebody to pray for them. So it could be somebody that we've never met before. And we walk in and we say, hi, our name is such and such. We're with such and such church and she's a missionary. And what is your name? And we want to pray for you. And so we know nothing about them or about their circumstances or about their families or any of that nature. And we open our mouths and begin to pray. And the Holy Spirit guides our prayer, and that person begins to weep and to be ministered to by the Holy Spirit. And then they say, you have no idea. Something supernatural had to have just happened, because you don't know me and you don't know my circumstance, and you just pray directly into my circumstance. That's pretty incredible. It's pretty incredible. Since I've moved to the Dominican Republic, almost every day I'm put in an impossible situation where I have to say, Holy Spirit, if you don't tell me, or if you don't do it, or if you don't give me the word, or if you don't help me pray, I'm lost, because this is impossible for me apart from you. And every time, every single time, he does the work. He gives the word. He ministers. And I just have to say, it's you. It's you. And when people are like, wow, this is amazing, I'm like, it's him. It's not me. We also have visited several churches. So we've done hospital visits. This was a very powerful moment in my life, because Anna, in the last few months, I feel like she's been kind of training me and teaching me a lot of things. And she, as my pastor role, as my pastoral role model there, as my mentor there. She has done a lot of leading. So she'll look at me. We communicate with our eyes a lot when we're in the moments of ministry, and the Holy Spirit helps us know what that look meant. And then we just kind of fall into that natural flow of ministry. But when we walked in that day, she didn't do anything. And the Holy Spirit said, go, it's your turn. And so I stepped up. And I stepped into the primary ministerial sort of role in that moment. And so I love this picture so much. I had no idea that they were taking it. But I was in the midst of ministering to a woman who was very, very sick. And the Lord gave me faith that he was going to heal her and that she was going to come out of that bed after she had been there for several days. And Anna, looking on, listening and observing to make sure that it was good, that the Holy Spirit was in control, but just waiting and letting me step forward into that role. And so that woman has been healed. Glory to God. He healed her, and she is ministering again in the church as a singer worship leader. And so we give God glory for that. And the picture of the clothes is just to tell you all that the life there is so different. So if we're visiting in homes and we walk in and we're wanting to visit with the woman there, and she's got her hands in the laundry, or she's cooking a meal, or she's washing the dishes, we walk in and we say, okay, and we take up the chores, and we help her until she's done with the chores, and then we'll sit down, and we'll say, let us pray for you. And so these clothes we had folded, it was just one of the many stacks of clothes that was in that house, but that's what the life is like there. Jody, let's look at the next slide. So we've been invited to speak at churches and to share in churches. And even, so in the Dominican Republic, if you're known as a missionary, if you're known as a pastor, if you're known as anybody with any kind of title, and you walk in the door and somebody in the church knows who you are, you will be told that you need to go forward and share something. And at first I thought it was optional, and then I realized that it wasn't optional, and so I don't ever go anywhere not prepared to play or to sing or to share some word of testimony. And this was one of the very few times that I received the invitation on the front end, but we've been going into churches and just giving testimony and sharing with them. This was actually a four-hour service that the pastor contacted Pastora Ana, and he said, we're going to have a four-hour service, and I want you and that missionary girl to be there. And so he had already set a date, but we weren't going to be able to make it on that date. So he changed the date and then told us what the date was, and we weren't going to be able to make it on that date either. He changed the date three times to make sure that we were going to be able to be there. And the presence of the Holy Spirit that day fell in such a beautiful way. It was just a small group. It was a church plant. It looked like Pursuit Church when we first started, except it was a little hotter, and we didn't have air conditioning, and it was outside in open air, but it looked a lot like Pursuit Church. And so we were able to allow the Holy Spirit to use us as instruments to really bless and to share a word to them that day. It was really incredible. Let's look at the next slide. I want to tell you guys about this day. Some of you all have already heard it, so I'm sorry if y'all are hearing it for the second or maybe the third time. But I want to tell you all about this day. So Anna and I had been led by the Holy Spirit to a church, and we ministered that morning. And as we were leaving, Anna says, Megan, we can't go home yet. And I said, okay. She said, the Holy Spirit wants us to visit Pastor Pablo. Okay. Pablo in English is Paul. So I said, okay, show me how to get there. So we got in the car, and we went to his house, and he was excited to see us. He hadn't seen Anna for a long period of time, didn't know who I was or what I was doing there, but he was just as excited to meet me. He took us across the cul-de-sac, and there was this big open gazebo, and he left us there for a moment to go run back to the house to grab something, and Anna and I went and sat up on the stairs in the front where the altar was. And Anna says, Holy Spirit, I don't know why you have us here, but I trust that you're going to show us. The pastor comes back, and he sits near us, and she begins to give testimony about how God connected the two of us, about the construction. And as she's sharing, she mentions Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. I had been asking the Holy Spirit Do you have a word for this pastor? Is there something specific you want us to speak to the pastor? If so, reveal that word to me. And the second that she referenced that verse, the Holy Spirit just said to me, this is the word for the pastor. I said, okay. So I held on to it until she finished her testimony. And I said, Pastor, I believe that the Holy Spirit has a word for you today. I said, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I'll be exalted in the earth. And the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And I said, I don't know what your ministry looks like. I don't know what your family life is like. I don't know anything about you. But the Holy Spirit wants to tell you today to rest, to be still, to know that he is God. And I said, your ministry, what you do or what you don't do or what you can say or what you can't say, your ministry doesn't hinge on that. It doesn't hinge on you. It hinges on the one who is already being exalted in the nations. It hinges on the one who is being exalted in the earth. And he's already being exalted in the nations and already being exalted in the earth. So just rest. And I said, the scripture says to be still and know that I am God. But even if we just say be still and know that I am, reminds me of Moses when Moses said, who are we going to say? Who am I going to say sent me? And God said, tell him the I am sent you. And I said to Pastor Pablo, he didn't put anything after I am because that would have limited who he is. And he's limitless. He's matchless. And so whatever you need in your ministry, Pastor, whatever you need in your personal life, whatever you need in your family, he already is. You just got to rest and know that he is. And I said, and what's more, the Lord of hosts is with you. Oh, the Lord of hosts is with you. The God of Jacob is your fortress. Rest. Pastor was weeping. We began to pray for him, Anna and I. And as we were praying, four people came in who didn't know who we were or what we were doing there. And these four people come in and they say, Pastor, the Holy Spirit wanted us to come and tell you to be still and know that he is God. Pastor was even more broken. And I said, I think the Holy Spirit wants you to understand something. He gets a phone call while we're there. A woman who has no idea that he's with anyone. She says, Holy Spirit wants me to tell you to be still and to know he is God. Pastor was completely broken. Receive the word, Pastor. Receive the word. And there was more ministry that happened. And perhaps if you don't know the story, I can tell you, but every single person that was in there under the gazebo was ministered to in very strong and very specific ways. But this picture of me on my knees, I had been helping Anna minister. You know, sometimes my role with her is to be behind her, praying for her and upholding her while she's doing her ministry. And sometimes I am her partner and she's ministering to this person and I'm ministering to this person. The Holy Spirit does it differently each time. But I had been ministering to one of the young ladies there and I was just so overwhelmed with the awesomeness of who our God is and how much he loves us so specifically and so individually that there was a moment that I just had to step back and just fall on my knees and just praise the Lord. And the pastor came up to me and he says, will you minister to this lady on the phone? And I said, what? It's one thing to minister to an absolute stranger when you can see their face and you can kind of feel the chemistry and you can kind of read what's happening while you're ministering to them. But it's another thing entirely to minister to someone that you don't know who they are on a telephone. So I was like, okay. I took the phone and I was like, what do I say, Lord? What do I say, Holy Spirit? What do I say? What do I say? And I said, hello, what is your name? She told me her name and I told her mine. And I said, I would just love to pray for you. What do I pray, Holy Spirit? What do I pray, Holy Spirit? And so I just began to worship the Lord in prayer. and just adore him for the things that I was even seeing before my eyes, just of who he is and how he moves and how he loves us. And then I said, Holy Spirit, I don't know this sister. I don't know who she is. I don't know her story. But you do, and you know her better than she knows herself. And so I need you to give me a fresh word for her today. I need you to give her a word in this moment. What is the word? I didn't hear anything, and I was like, no, Holy Spirit, I need a fresh word for this sister today. What is the word that you have for her? And then after a moment, I opened my mouth, and he gave me words for her. And her praying on the other end of the line went from, yes, Lord, you're so good, you're so wonderful, to yes, yes, thank you, yes. And at the end of that prayer, she said, I was in my prayer closet this morning where no one could hear me, praying things that no one knows. And I told the Holy Spirit this morning I had to hear from him today. And the way that he just spoke through you in your praying, I know that I received the word that I was looking for this morning when I was talking to him in secret. I said, that's my God. I said, that's our God. Let's go ahead to the next slide, Jody. This is a family in Santo Domingo. We traveled for 3.5 hours to get to their little church plant. I wanted you to see the faces of these pastors, and I want you to pray for them as they are seeking the Lord's face. His name is Pastor Benjamin, which is Benjamin, and her name is Rosa. They are asking the Lord for a church building, and the Holy Spirit's fire is in their church plant, and he's being honored by them in their life, in their seeking of him. And I just need you to be praying for this church in Santo Domingo. I had the honor of being in their house and just feeling the Holy Spirit's presence fall in an incredible way. Their house was jammed full of people. It was kind of like what I imagined it to be when Jesus was inside that house teaching, and the men who were trying to bring their friend to be healed had to go through the roof to get in. That's how we were packed into that little house, praising the Lord with hands raised and people on the ground prostrate, oh my goodness, and crying out before the Lord, and he's being honored there. So pray with me for Benjamin and for Rosa as they're raising a church there in Santo Domingo. Let's go ahead to the next slide. I want to tell you guys a little bit about Pastora Ana. Just the size of the smile on her face. If you haven't had the joy of meeting her or seeing her on a video chat, this is a woman who is just abounding in the joy of the Lord in every circumstance. In every circumstance, I had the joy during the time that I was sick. It was hard, but there were so many precious things that came out of that time. And one of those things was to be able to see that in the moments where the enemy was coming after her with everything in him to discourage her and to bring her down, she would say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name because he's worthy. And she'd start singing, pero mi Dios es bueno, alábale. Mi Dios es bueno, adórale. Pero mi Dios es bueno. And it's just a song about how good God is. Just praise him. Just praise him. Just worship him because he's good. And so this is Ana. This is God in Ana. So I just want to tell you guys a little bit about how I met her. There were 3 times in Sabaneta that I had met her but didn't really get to know who she was. But the time that God really, really connected us was in October of last year. There was a 3-day conference in Santiago, which is about 2 hours from Sabaneta. And I went to that conference, and it was a very hard time for me. I was dealing with a lot of homesickness, and very strong, almost to the point of panic sometimes, of I can't be with the people that are, you know, that are there in Mississippi. I can't be where everything is familiar, but I can't leave this situation. Like, I would have moments of almost panic. And sometimes I would message our church staff and say, I need you to pray for me because this is a really hard moment. And sometimes it was just something that I had to battle out with the Holy Spirit. But those few days were really tough for me. And it was a huge conference. There were hundreds and hundreds of people. And there, the Saturday night, I had entered in a little bit late, so I was sitting way back at the back of this huge conference room, and the sound was horrible, and I couldn't understand anything because of how the sound system was that night. I was like, I couldn't participate in the service because I couldn't understand anything, and I just felt so out of place that I was like, get me out of here. That was my honest inward working was, I have to get out. I have to get out. I don't know if y'all have ever been in that place before. Maybe not in a place where everybody was not speaking your language, but just that moment of, I have to get out of here. I have to get out of here right now. And that was the moment that I was having. And so I just was crying uncontrollably. And I left out of the middle door of this huge place. There were like three doors on each wall. And I left out of the middle door and I was like, I'm going to go see if the cabin's open. I got to get out of here. I got to get away from people. And the Holy Spirit said, go back in. And I was like, I kept walking. He said, go back in. And it was so strong that I was like, okay. So I went back in the back door. And I just stood there. And I was like, okay, what am I doing here? I'm still crying. Like, I'm out of control right now, Father. I need to get away and I need you to calm me. Standing there, I was trying to figure out what to do. And Anna, in her side of the story, says, we were there in the back, and we were taking pictures because there were some ladies that were specially chosen that night to represent Queen Esther, and so they were dressed up like royalty. And she said, we were there taking our picture, and the Holy Spirit says to me, look over there. And so she looks, and she says, I saw that round face over there in the door. He said, go speak to her. I have a word for her. So she comes to me. She doesn't really know anything about me. She recognized me from the other times that she had met me, didn't really know me. And she said, Holy Spirit says, you're not here by yourself. And that he recognizes everything that you've had to leave. He knows everything that you've left for his sake. And he will give it to you multiplied. And he's preparing a family for you here in the Dominican Republic. We didn't know in that moment that he was talking about her family. But as she was speaking directly into the things that had bringing me almost to a panic, I knew that the Holy Spirit was there and he was aware. And she prayed for me and she hugged me and she held on to me for a long time. And she said, this is God the Father hugging you because he is proud of you. And because you're not here by yourself. Well, the next day, the Holy Spirit says to me, write Anna a note. And I said, no, I'm not going to do that. She's going to think I'm only doing that because she ministered to me last night. And he said, write her a note. And I said, Lord, she's just going to think that I'm doing it because she ministered to me last night. Write her. Get a piece of paper and a pen. Okay. So I get it out and I just begin to write. And I couldn't find her. We were in a crowd of 800 people, 900 people. I said, Holy Spirit, if you want me to give her this letter, you're going to help me find her. And immediately I found her. I'm learning that when I speak to the Holy Spirit, he responds. Sometimes I can see the response immediately, and sometimes I can't see the response immediately, but when I speak to the Holy Spirit, he responds. And maybe somebody here needs to know that. When you're walking in step with the Holy Spirit and you speak to him, he responds. You can't always see it immediately, but he responds when you speak to him. And I need somebody in here to understand that. So I found her and I went to the front and I said, I have meager words. I'm still a little weak in the Spanish side of things. But I want you to have this. And I read it to her. And as I read it to her, she began to weep. And she thanked me Now she has that letter covered in plastic to make it last, and it sits up in her house because the words were so meaningful, but I tell her those weren't my words. They were words from the Holy Spirit. So this is how God connected us. We began to speak in November. And in mid-November, I asked her, do you have a specific prayer request that I can pray? She said, yeah, the roof of the church. And I said, the roof of the church? So I'm thinking there's a leak. I'm thinking there's an issue with the roof. She sends me a picture, and I was like, oh, there is no roof. Okay, yes, we're going to pray about this. But I remember in the audio that I sent her back that I spoke with such an authority and with such a faith that God was going to do it, even though I barely knew her. I had not met the church family in Mysol at that point. But the Lord just immediately filled me up with this faith that it was going to happen. In that same week, Miss Twyla messages me and she says, what would you like for Christmas? We would like to bless our missionary with something for Christmas. What is it that you would like? And I didn't respond for about a day, a little more than a day, because I was praying about it and I was like, Lord, what could I possibly ask for Christmas? But every time I thought about it, all I could think was the fact that the church in my cell didn't have a roof. And so, even with the faith that God had given me that he was going to complete the work, maybe even just with a little bit of faith, I said to Ms. Twyla, whatever that would be used for a gift, just send that and we're going to apply it to this church building in my cell. I said, but hang on a second, because this weekend I'm going to do a children's ministry and I'm going to see the church and I'm going to see the people. And so I did. I went and we got rained on while we were doing that ministry. We were soaking wet because there wasn't a roof. Well, you guys know what happened after that. She came before you all. She made a Facebook page. In less than 12 hours, we had over $2,000 for this roof in my cell. And I'm like, whoa, Lord, you know, I was just kind of thinking $100, maybe $150, and look what you're doing. And we still were going to be emphasizing it during the month of December. And so I'm just there astounded. And I had the joy of going to Pastora Ana's house and without having to use a translator say, God sees you. And I know it. And let me tell you why I know it. Because in less than 12 hours on a Facebook page, God collected more than $2,000 to help you put a roof on the church in Mysol. And her just in tears and worshiping the Lord. And everyone in that place broke out spontaneously in song and in prayer, just praising the God who provides after having waited for so long. So one day in early, it must have been late November, we go to the church and we were in two different vehicles. Anna was in one vehicle and I was in my vehicle. And I got there just a minute or so before her. And as we pull up, as we pull up, I see this rainbow over the roof of the church. And in my spirit, immediately, I was like, this is the Holy Spirit saying that he's going to do it. He's going to complete the work. And I was so full of joy that as soon as they pulled up, I swung wide open the door that Anna was sitting inside of. And I grabbed her and I pulled her out and I said, Anna, look. This is a promise that God is going to finish what he has started. You have been waiting for over a year, and now he's saying he's about to do it. Prepare yourself, he's about to do it. So I took this picture and I sent it to her. And for the first time in a long time, she felt the need to post it on Facebook. So she puts it on Facebook and she says, a year of silence, God's still working. A pastor in Canada takes the picture of the rainbow that I just took because I was excited that God said he was going to finish the work. He takes this picture and he opens up a project in the month of December. And he says, we're going to raise $12,500 Canadian dollars. Him thinking it's going to take a year to raise these funds. Starts talking to his church body. And during the month of December, they began to raise the $12,500 Canadian dollars. We don't know anything about that, Anna, myself, none of them. So since I didn't know anything about it, Brother Jimmy and Ms. Twyla didn't know anything about it, And so we're here emphasizing it here as a secret to Anna. And they're there in Canada emphasizing this roof being a secret to Anna. And before December the 31st, this pastor had every dollar that he thought was going to take a year to raise in Canada. Okay, so we're at the end of December. This family that was in the pile of rocks, it's a lot of details, y'all, but if you hang with me, it's incredible. This family that was on the pile of rocks, they had bought their tickets in November to come to the Dominican Republic. They come every year. They've been coming for a lot of years, and they do all sorts of different work. They do construction work. They bring clothes. They bring food, and they go to all of these different communities, and so they're just jam-packed trips for about a week and a half. They bought their tickets in November. In the beginning of December, they receive a letter from their church saying, "We're very sorry, but we're not going to be able to support you for your trip at all." They had no money. They had no supplies. And they already bought their tickets for five people. No, for six people. So Brenda, the mother, the wife of this in this family, spent a day, she locked herself in her bedroom. She said, "I'm fasting and praying today because I don't understand. We've been going for years. We've got nothing, but we have plane tickets." As she's crying out to the Lord, she says, "I feel like Noah with no sign of rain." As she's crying out to the Lord, and then she sees this picture of a rainbow. And he says, "I've got this. I'm doing the work. And I will do it." What? What? She gets a call the next day from the pastor of another church who just raised $12,500 in a month. A church that didn't communicate with the church that this family goes to because of a previous conflict. These churches didn't communicate with one another. But he had to reach out to this family and say, "Are you going to the Dominican Republic without a purpose?" And she was like, "Well, kind of." And he said, "I have all this money for the church in Maysal, but I can't take it because I'm sick. I'm bad. I'm in bad health. We need you to take this money." And for months, they had to collaborate. And so because of this roof in Maysal and a picture of a rainbow, there are two churches that are now reunited in Canada. What? Through a construction, Lord? Through a construction? So they brought the money, and they also had other funding and support to be able to carry off the work that they usually do. So, an incredible story about putting a roof on a church. And Anna says, "I'm amazed." But with every person she meets from here, she sees it as a connection because of the roof in Maysal. And she says to people, it just amazes me that because of a construction, God has been able to unite me with so many more precious brothers and sisters in places that I don't know if I'll ever get to go, not just here in the States, but in Canada, in places that it's just incredible. It's just incredible. That's the largest part of what I wanted to share with you. I think there's another slide here, Jody. I just want to tell y'all that the Lord said he was going to give me a Dominican family in more than one way. And there's no one who could take the place of my biological family. And there's no one who could take the place of my church family at Pursuit Church of Meridian. But he has given me a Dominican mother and a Dominican father and Dominican brothers and sisters and Dominican aunts and uncles and a Dominican church family in the last few months. And this is my Dominican mother. I was sitting next to her on a bus one day, and I said to her, you know, she had laid her head on my shoulder because she was tired. We had had some really full days of ministry as we were following the voice of the Holy Spirit. She laid her head on my shoulder, and I said, "You know what?
I kind of feel a little bit like you're Naomi and I'm Ruth. And she said, what? My husband's not dead and you're not married. And I said, no, but every other part of that story. I said, Ruth left everything. She left her family and her home. And I mean, I haven't left my faith, but she left her religion. She left everything. And she said to Naomi, where you go, I'll go. Your people will be my people and your God will be my God. And so now she calls me Ruth and I call her Naomi. So I want you to see her. I want you to know her. And as you guys come, as you have opportunities, I just so look forward to being able to introduce you all to her. Let's go to the next slide. So there are, I'm going to try to wrap this up, but there are a couple of things that I feel like the Holy Spirit wants me to share. Just moments of ministry that he has given me in different times that I feel like perhaps I need to share with you all today. One of those moments was when I was leading worship with a praise team one time. We began to sing,
A llover, rompe las fuentes del cielo, let it rain. Let it rain, open the floodgates of heaven. And all of the praise team, they had their hands lifted. They were in all the right positions. And the people in the congregation were in the right positions. And they were singing the words. And the Holy Spirit says to me, why are they singing this song? I was playing the keyboard and I'm like, because it was in the worship set, Father. And he asked me again, why are they singing this song? And I had this feeling of almost horror. I had never heard him ask me that question before while in a worship set. He said to me so clearly, why do they ask for rain when they haven't planted anything to be harvested?
Whoa.
I had to chew on that a little bit. I couldn't just spit it out in the service in that moment. I had to process it with him in my own personal time and say, what does that mean? In John chapter 12, in verses 24 and 26, Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. So if we don't plant our lives and choose to die to self, we will remain alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it. Whoever loves his life loses it. And whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. So this life is not my own. My life is like a seed, and I have to plant it. And the seed has to die before it can give new life, before it can bear new fruit. And if I love my life too much to plant it and allow it to die so that new fruit can come, then I'm going to lose my life. It will have no eternal impact. Okay, that's heavy stuff, Lord. We sing and we pray and we plead for the Lord. Send the rain. Send the rain. I've sung those songs for as long as I can remember. But the rain will only come when there's purpose for the rain. If we haven't planted something to be harvested by the rain, what is the purpose of pleading for the rain? If we haven't planted something, there's no purpose in sending the rain. Have you planted something? Have you planted your life? Can you honestly say that your life is not your own? Can you honestly say that your life is not your own? That's the only way that I have been able to leave everything and to move to a third world country, because the Holy Spirit helped me realize that my life is not my own. And he helped me realize that my mama and my daddy, who are in bad health, they're not mine either. And I have to trust that they're his and that he's going to take better care of them than I could if I was here. And I have to trust that my sister is not mine. And so even in the moments that maybe she's not making the wisest decisions, that he's going to take better care of her than I could if I was here. And that when things happen in my church family that devastate them, I have to trust that he's going to take better care of my church family than I could if I had gotten on a plane and come back from the Dominican Republic or from Costa Rica. Because really, it's not mine. It's his. My car is not mine. My apartment is not mine. Your house is not yours. It's not yours. But we live as if these possessions and these relationships are really ours. And until we can realize that it's not ours, then we won't be able to plant ourselves and allow ourselves really to die to self. But when we can understand by the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit that none of this is ours, and that it's all temporal, and that we're pressing on to a better country, oh, then I can leave it. And I can do whatever it is that the Holy Spirit wants me to do in that moment, because it's his anyway. That moment is his. The breath that I'm breathing is his. And I can die to self, because self isn't mine. In Hosea 10:12, it says, "Sow for yourselves righteousness, reap steadfast love, break up your fallow ground, for it is the time to seek the Lord, that he may come and rain righteousness upon you." And I love how it says it in the NIV. I don't really use the NIV a whole lot, but I want to read the NIV version to you all. It says, "Sow righteousness for yourselves." This is work, you all. Planting yourself, sowing things. We're coming out of that time where everybody does it, like in real life, farming and planting and harvesting. But there's still people that do it, and they understand that this is hard work. There's sweat. There is, you know, there's sacrifice to sowing, especially when you're sowing your own life. But it says, "Sow righteousness for yourselves, reap the fruit of unfailing love, and break up your unplowed ground." That's work. Break up your unplowed ground. Do you have unplowed ground that needs to be broken up? For it is time to seek the Lord. Until he comes and showers his righteousness on you. When we plant our lives and die, then the seed of our life gives off much fruit. The life that grows from the dead seed gives life to many more fruits and even more seeds that can be planted and give new life. There was a phrase that I saw that says, any person can count the number of seeds in an apple, but only God can count the number of apples in a seed. I'm going to say that again. Any person can count the number of seeds in an apple, but only God knows how many apples are in a seed. And so you've got one seed, and it's hard work to plant it. But if you plant your seed and you die to yourself, then the fruit that that new life will give off. Think about an apple tree. And season after season after season, it's giving off new apples. And each apple has how many seeds in it? Just think about the eternal impact that your life will have if you can just say,
It's not worth it to me because it's not mine. Yes, Lord, I'll plant my life and I'll die to self so that this new life, this eternal impact, season after season, can fall from my little vapor of a life. It's incredible what the Lord does with obedience. If we resist the process of dying to self, our lives have little to no eternal impact. Oh, but the eternal impact, if we can plant that seed and let it die. We should not just sow our lives, we should do so generously. 2 Corinthians 9:6-8 says, the point is this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Yes, Lord, you can have me on Sundays and you can have me on Tuesday nights and you can have me on Wednesday nights. But on the other days of the week, my life is really for my work. It's really for my family. It's really for my sport. It's really, that's pretty sparing for the God who gave everything for you. If you're sowing sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And listen to what happens if you give bountifully, if you sow bountifully, if you give cheerfully. It says God is able to make all grace abound to you so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, wait a minute, all sufficiency in all things, at all times you may abound in every good work. Whoa. And I'm seeing that. And the things that I'm telling you, the miraculous things that I'm telling you, the way that the Holy Spirit speaks with me, yeah, we say that he's my God there, but he's the same God here. And if you don't know that God, it's maybe because you're not looking for the same God that I have found. And that's what I want this testimony this morning to show you, that he is the same God in the United States of America as he is in the Dominican Republic, as he is in Haiti, as he is in South Korea, as he is in Brazil. In every country around this world, it's the same God. It's the same word. They're the same promises. But you got to die to self to really find him. If you haven't found him, the question is, have you really died to self? Have you really said, it's not mine, Lord? I surrender. Luke 6:38 says, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will it be put into your lap. What blessing in your lap. For with the measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. What measure are you using today? What measure have you been using through all of the years of your Christian walk? Because with that measure is what it's being measured back to you. So if you want more, you gotta use a different measuring cup. If you want more from the Holy Spirit, you gotta use a different measuring cup. Maybe you gotta put yourself in the situation that you've been avoiding because maybe it's a little uncomfortable or maybe it looks a little impossible. But with the measure of faith that you're using, with the measure of sacrifice that you're using, that's the same measure he's going to use when he comes back to you and he responds to that prayer or he responds to that act of obedience. What measuring cup are you using today? Matthew 16:24-27, Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me, for whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the entire world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done.